Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very successful entrepreneur, a fellow member of the YPO from Manila, Philippines, Mr. Nicholas Bivero. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me here. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast and looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you. Nicholas is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Penn Brothers, and we're going to talk about Penn Brothers today. And as I mentioned, he's a fellow member of the YPO. So Nicholas, before we talk about Penn Brothers, tell me about your journey, because I know you were in the corporate world, and what motivated you to become an entrepreneur?
Thank you for that question. It's a little bit more complicated to answer. So I'm actually a child of different cultures. I'm half German, half Venezuelan. I grew up in many places around the world. And I started my corporate career actually in Japan. I had the great opportunity of working at a Japanese company as at that time the only foreigner doing international business development. So my first 15 years of my corporate life was actually overseas business development out of Japan in Southeast Asia. And so this is how I started with getting more and more interested in the entrepreneurship itself, because I was together with a team. We were building new companies and new businesses in the Philippines, in Thailand, in Taiwan, in Singapore and other places. And so step by step, you learn the different bits and pieces it takes to set up a company, from the initial feasibility studies to actually the incorporation, to building the team, to dealing with the customers' problems, and so on and so forth. So it gave me that work with a Japanese company, gave me a great exposure to almost everything related to being an entrepreneur and becoming an entrepreneur, but without actually being an entrepreneur, because obviously I was working for a much larger corporation. But it created this more and more interest. And when the opportunity came up to actually do something in the Philippines by myself, together with my co-founder, I felt that there was a great opportunity to try out, to apply everything I learned while being in corporate.
Fascinating. So let's talk about Penn Brothers, which is a professional employer organization, or a PEO. Can you give me a brief introduction of Penn Brothers, and how was the idea conceived?
So Penn Brothers itself is a company that, if I want to simplify it, we do remote staffing. So we provide people, talent from the Philippines to companies around the world, but without these people leaving the Philippines. So they are with us in the Philippines. They're employed by us. They are working in the Philippines, either in our offices or from home remotely, but they are assigned to each specific client and work for that client from the Philippines. So we handle everything which has to do with the finding the talent, the recruiting the talent, to onboarding, to the payroll, similar to a staffing company, so to speak. And then we assign the person to the client. It can be, for example, an accounts payable person. It can be a CAD engineer. It could be an architect. It could be a full stack developer. So it's a very wide range of talent that we find in the Philippines and then provide to our clients overseas. And the reason why we started, to answer the second part of your question, is because my co-founder and best friend in 2014 had just raised, he had his own young startup, and they had just raised Series A and were looking to scale. So they needed to hire quite a significant amount of people. And it was a very wide range of people they needed. They needed people for their tech product. They needed people for accounting. They needed salespeople. They needed customer support people. And I was already based in the Philippines working for the Japanese company I mentioned before. And he was visiting me and telling me about this challenge and this problem. And I looked around and I pointed to him at all the BPOs. And I'm like, well, if the big Fortune 500 companies can hire really good people in the Philippines through the BPOs, I'm sure we can find also really good talent for a startup, for a young company, for an SME. And so that's how the whole idea started. We decided to give it a try. So we hired initially as freelancers, two or three people for his company. And he and his partner were delighted. with the quality, with the English skills, with the friendliness of the Filipinos, the commitment of the Filipinos. So they were very happy. And then the next step was, well, this is clearly working. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, set it up properly. Let's set up a company. Let's hire people who can help with recruitment, people who can help with the payroll, people who can help with the taxation. Mm. And let's see if it works. And if there are more companies like his out there who could really benefit from the Philippine talent and the service. That's how it started originally. Amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you. Great response. And as a co-founder, what have been some of the most challenging aspects of building Penn Brothers? And how did you overcome some of these challenges?
Well, we started in 2014, and there have been a lot of challenges along the way. Clearly at the beginning, when we were starting, because we were shoestringing the whole organization, one of the main challenges was, how do we find the right people who can help us grow the company and provide a good service to our clients without running gigantic cash flow deficits? Because we did not raise money from a venture capital arm or from anybody. We basically put our own savings into this. And there was obviously finite amount of funds available to make this work. And so there was clearly a trade-off between what we could afford and what we actually wanted to offer to our clients and our employees. And so we very slowly, we had to improve this step by step and grow it slowly. We were not in a situation of raising funds to hyperscale, but we also, to be fair, didn't want to hyperscale. That was not something we were very keen on, because we always believed from day one, it's about the quality of the service, not the quantity. That was a problem, for a challenge we had to encounter, and it took us time to get out of it. You know, hiring the right people, realizing that many times, let's say a client would have a notion of what he wants to have as a talent, but translating that properly to Philippine standards, also something we had to learn and we had to work on. Then later on, for example, once we started growing faster, obviously dealing with the standard daily operational issues, like clients suddenly coming and saying, I need 30 people and I need them by next week. And we're like, well, that's not going to happen that easily. we need to still find them, go through the interview process. So things like that. So, but I mean, you learn, you adjust, you adapt, and you improve step by step. I think the biggest challenge was COVID, to be very honest. COVID was very scary at the beginning. Correct. And I think that was very scary for everybody.
I agree. My next question to you, Nicholas, is, you know, that over the years, how do you think the PEO landscape has changed? And what is technology going to do, especially all these AI-based technologies that are coming in? How is that going to impact a lot of the work you are doing?
Let me start with the first part of the question. I think the landscape has changed quite significantly. And it's fragmenting to a degree into different types of PEOs, different types of remote staffing providers. During COVID, maybe that started already a little bit before COVID, but specifically during COVID, there was a lot of money being funneled into platforms, so PEO platforms. There are a larger number of them out there, but they are platforms. They're like self-service platforms. So they provide you obviously with a degree of simplicity, but they also only provide you with a certain minimum base level of service. Then there are other providers to which I believe we belong, which is a more comprehensive package in the sense that we provide, I call it a consultative approach. Maybe there's a better word for that, where we try to be the local partner of our clients for them to better understand what is the talent, how Filipinos work, how to motivate Filipinos. We help with learning and development. We help with doing offsites, doing team building events. And so we help a lot with making the people and the clients feel taken care of and taking care of them in actuality, which the platforms don't work on. But obviously, now coming to your second part of the question, before I go to the AI, we do invest, and I think most of our similar companies like us invest quite a significant amount in our IT tech, in our development of our own proprietary systems, so that we can provide all our services in a better, faster, less prone to mistakes. A lot can be done online, so you can raise tickets online. You can interview people online. You can have, for example, initial interviews recorded and then reviewed. So there is a lot of that type of things happening, which I think it's part of how businesses in the futures will be more and more using tools. Like nowadays, Google. Before Google was used only for Googling. Mm. Nowadays, there is Gmail. There is all kinds of the corporate system behind it. And then the last part of your question about AI, from what I believe and what I see so far, AI, if anything, is going to help our businesses in the sense that you can actually make people more productive. Mm-hmm. You can actually take away a lot of the tediousness of sometimes the work they were doing. Mm-hmm. The talent that we have in the Philippines, take a customer support agent. So a customer support agent with AI now can actually provide even better customer support and provide that maybe at a quicker. Or marketing team can now can churn out or turn around campaigns faster and better using AI, and that allows them also more time. Instead of being there typing, they now can also spend more time maybe strategizing or ideating and things like that. So I think AI overall is like any tool. It will help us. Mm. It will help us to become more efficient and better. Mm. But yeah, I also believe that for some roles over time, it might make them redundant because certain things might be AI can take care of them by themselves. But at the end of the day, once you want to provide real customer service or real intelligent output, you still need a human brain to help, at least for the foreseeable future. Maybe in 20 years or 10 years, I don't know. I'm not an AI specialist. That will be different, but hopefully not. Otherwise, we all don't have a job anymore.
Fascinating. And, you know, Nicholas, I don't know much about PEO, but which are some of the other countries that are big in PEO and how do you differentiate Penn Brothers?
I mean, other countries, so overall outsourcing, offshoring, PEO and BPOs and everything related to that universe. I mean, those are obviously India is huge and it's a very, very, very massive big country. Bangladesh is coming. I know, and I believe there are a few YPOs also active in that type of business in Nepal, for example. Then other countries which are big is South Africa is becoming bigger, has a big big business like that. Then, to be honest, South America, obviously, for the Spanish-speaking world, is quite big. So you have Colombia, Costa Rica. I mean, actually, most of Central America, most Caribbean, even where I am from, Venezuela, has BPOs and related businesses because of the Spanish-speaking. So it is quite a big business around the world. And I believe it's becoming even bigger for various reasons. One is obviously companies are always on the lookout to save cost and to reduce their payroll billing. Mm-hmm. Number two is also lack of talent, lack of people. So if you let's take as an example, you know, the other country I'm from, Germany. Mm-hmm. Germany is, and my statistics might be a little bit off, but from what I understand, losing about 500,000 people a year because of retirement. The baby boomers are retiring. And so those people need to be replaced, and Germany is not replacing them by immigration. So you need to replace a lot of those people differently. And so those companies are looking more and more at how can I do this remotely? How can I do this? Because also COVID has changed the way companies look at talent. Talent pool is more global now. Before it was more local, now it's much more global. So I think the business itself is growing quite fast and it's going to continue to grow quite fast.
My next question, and I've often wondered about this, is, you know, organizations like Penn Brothers probably have clients in different parts of the world. How do you ensure compliance with local laws and regulations when providing PEO services across so many different countries?
Yeah, so in our case, we chose from a very early stage not to become a platform in providing PEO services across the world. Mm-hmm. We provide it, or we provide our service uniquely in the Philippines. So all our employees are in the Philippines, and we are obviously compliant with all the laws here in the Philippines, from tax to labor to safety and so on and so forth. Mm. And obviously, sometimes we do have clients who ask us, like, hey, I also would like to hire this person from Indonesia or this person from Vietnam. Can you help us? Mm. And then what we do is we point them, or we introduce them to partners we have in those countries, and we don't do it. Mm. And the reason why we decided not to go that path is because I actually think it's very difficult to be compliant in many different countries at the same time. Mm. I personally, but this is my very personal opinion, I wonder if the big platforms are truly compliant or not. Mm. But that's my very personal opinion, and I have no basis to say yes, they are, or no, they're not.
Yeah.
But I believe it's very difficult, because you definitely need local people and local knowledge for every one of those countries.
Mm. My next question is, you know, relating, you know, you probably say you've got a set of people in the Philippines who are working with someone in Japan or someone in Singapore or wherever. Two related questions. Number one is, how do you find the right talent to be able to work with a different set of organizations? And number two, how do you manage the cultural differences that there are bound to be between people who are from the Philippines and, say, people from some other country?
It's a question, and that's the most difficult part at the end of the day. So starting with the talent, finding the right talent. So we obviously have our own in-house recruitment team to find the talent. But we nowadays, coming back to the consultative approach, start from the initial first meeting with a potential client, in already bringing in different parts of our team to calibrate with the potential client from the get-go. What is it they're looking for? How does the job description translate to the Philippines? What are the must-haves? What are the nice-to-haves? What are things they don't want to see from a talent? And then we also spend already at that point explaining a lot on the culture of the Philippines and the advantages and disadvantage of the Filipinos as a talent and working with, let's say, a Singaporean company or an Australian company or an American company. Mm. So there's a lot of work, consultative work already done there. The calibration is very, very important because, for example, if a Singapore company says, I'm looking for a senior full stack developer XYZ, that doesn't translate directly to exactly a senior full stack developer XYZ in the Philippines. The expectation levels can be different. And so we need to really calibrate that and also explain alternatives. For example, we have obviously by now a lot of data, and it allows us to say, like, well, honestly speaking, that type of talent you're looking for, you will not find in the Philippines. That's a unicorn. But we can help you by, for example, splitting the role in two different pieces. Mm-hmm. And that will also allow you to achieve the same and potentially achieve even more. So we also sometimes help our clients think a little bit outside of the box. That's on the talent side. On the working, and then later on working with the talent and making sure that cultural problems and also other problems are tackled, we do spend a lot of time. Our customer success team spends a lot of time talking to the clients, troubleshooting with the clients. We also do a very detailed onboarding of new clients, not only in the sense, okay, this is our process, this is how we do things, but also on the culture. So this is the Philippine culture. This is how the Philippine culture, for example, is different to the Singaporean culture. It's something our team has been working on since about the last 3 years. And we really have a seminar with new clients and also with the team leaders of the clients on those cultural differences and explaining how Filipinos react to certain things, how they try to communicate other things. And that's very, very important, because otherwise the client can potentially very quickly get frustrated, because they're like, well, they're not delivering, but they're also not saying anything. I was like, yeah, well, because they're passive aggressive. So that working with the client and explaining to clients has been very, very key to the way we do things and also to our success, to be very honest.
Amazing. So, Nicholas, I have time for two more questions.
Yes,
my next
absolutely.
Question is that what are some of the common mistakes you see a lot of businesses making when they decide to outsource or partner with a PEO?
Yeah, I want to be careful with this answer because it can also sound very self-serving. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try not to be, but
okay.
On the one hand, I think at the end of the day, if you're looking for good talent, then maybe you need to also be aware, you need to make sure that whoever you partner with honestly has the systems and has the people in place to take care of that talent. It's for us, it's very, very important that we do take care of the talent. We make sure the people feel taken care of, are taken care of. If they have problems, if they need to go to the hospital, if they have family members who get hospitalized, that we are there and we support them. Because at the end of the day, we believe that for our clients, we are an extension of their company and their HR team, but in the Philippines. And if you choose the wrong partner, then potentially that's not the case. You know, they might actually not properly pay taxes for the employees, or they might give them a bad insurance policy or no insurance policy, or do all kinds of other things to increase their margin, which I personally find, to use a stronger word, actually quite despicable, because you're taking away from people.
Right.
So finding the right partner, I think it's important. And that cuts both ways. We also, in our initial meetings with a potential new client, make sure that we understand what is this person or this company looking for. Because if they're really looking for a partner who finds the cheapest talent and the cheapest cost possible, we walk away and we're not interested in that. That's not why we're doing this. So that's one. The other thing is, I think, really understanding the quality of the service you want to have, and then finding the right partner for that quality of the service. I don't know if I answered completely the question, but that's one of the things. Yeah.
You answered it. I think great response. And my last question to you, Nicholas, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation, and I'm going to take you back to your entrepreneurial journey. What would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your conversation, from our conversation, and from your learnings as an entrepreneur?
Thank you for that. That's an interesting question, quite challenging. I think the first one from an entrepreneur perspective is try to build as quickly as you can a team of good people around you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, you know, go crazy and spend a lot of money, but try to spend more time interviewing and selecting really good people, because with a good team, things improve quickly and things are easier. Because honestly, as an entrepreneur, we believe we can do everything, but in reality, we cannot. And a one-man show is also not scalable, and it's also cannot survive long-term, because you cannot do it forever.
Correct.
So that would be one element. The second element, or the second point, would be also be patient, honestly speaking, as from an entrepreneur perspective. Things take time. And I'm personally not the most patient person, but I have learned over time that things take time, because at the end of the day, in any organization, I do believe we're dealing with humans and people and teams. And to make them come together, make them work properly, make them jive, it takes time. And that is something I had to learn. And then on the third one, for the business itself, I think it's what I mentioned in the last question. It's really, if you are interested in building in tapping the remote, the global talent pool, if you're like, okay, I'm a company in Singapore and I need XYZ people, and I'm open to actually hiring them in the Philippines or in Bangladesh or in India or in South America, spend a little bit more time finding the right talent. Finding the right partner and also the right talent. Because if you choose the right partner and also the right talent, it will be a success. And if it's a success, it will help you as a company, and it will really enable you to scale faster or to grow better or to grow smarter. Mm-hmm. But again, it takes time. It's not like, let me find the first person out there.
Correct.
Spend a little bit more time selecting both the partner with whom you're doing this, as well as selecting the person itself that you're going to, you know, employ through that partner.
Amazing. Thank you. And on that note, Nicholas, and your three amazing lessons, try to build a team as fast as possible around you, because having a strong management team around you is probably one of the biggest requirements for any entrepreneur. You can't do everything on your own. Second, you said, was be patient. Whatever you're doing takes time. And the third one, which is so powerful and so important, that if you're looking at other locations, find the right partner and take your time in finding the right partner. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for talking to me about Penn Brothers. I've learned many new things from you about this whole PEO space, the professional employer organization space. Thank you also for talking to me about the advantages and disadvantages that a lot of customers will have if they outsource their requirements to organizations like yours. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.